You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
This whole internet thing, crazy, huh?
Yeah, we're going to fix it.
Just a bunch of numbers and shit floating around in the sky.
Honestly, impressive.
Is that how it works?
Zeros and ones.
Yeah. Binary code, Roy. That's what it's called.
That is absolutely what's
Roy, you strike binary. Me as someone that at a time knew binary code.
I actually went to school for computer science and forgot everything I learned.
Boom. What? Why?
Yeah, it just didn't appeal to me anymore.
Coding it. So.
Did you ever write, maybe like when you were trying to date or court people, like maybe you met a need by writing her a code?
No,
went to Hallmark, you bought a card, and you're like,
you can
0100.
You can absolutely stop talking.
11001.
Like none of that happened, so might as well stop asking the question.
Is that commonplace, though, in your computer science school where people wrote love letters to each other in binary code?
Seems like you're stereotyping to me.
How so?
It just seems like you are.
That's not a stereotype. I'm just wondering about binary code courting. So like one one's like XOXO, right?
Like sounds like a Chuck Lorre show.
Hugs
sounds like
and
a
kisses.
Plot to a Chuck Lorre show.
What?
What you just said? A question that you just asked.
Really?
It's like one of the plots to a Chuck Lorre show.
Chuck Lorre, what a hack!
Wow.
Oh boy.
Whoa!
Had to be said.
Dookie bomb.
See, there you go.
Masters week, Dano. There isn't much use providing a leaderboard because by the time you listen to this, it will have changed. But Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Lee Elder kicked us off this morning. In college basketball, Stugatz's boy Sean Miller has been fired as the head coach of Arizona's men's basketball team after 12 years, and some NCAA scandal the Wildcats decided not to renew his contract. From the NBA, Kevin Durant's return to play went as flawlessly as it could have. Durant comes off the bench and scores 17 points in 19 minutes in his return for the Nets from a nearly two-month absence. Due to a hamstring strain, the Nets beat the Pelicans 139-111. And finally, male sea slugs cut off their own penis after sex and grow back a new one before next mating season.
That was awfully chipper, the way that you delivered that. The Nets are totally overwhelming.
Well, it's great news. I mean, you lose a penis, you get another one. I mean,
it's a happy ending, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, sort of. So the Nets are overwhelming.
Oh, LaMarcus Aldridge, that guy.
He's good.
Now he's good. What a turn. LaMarcus Aldridge is good. I like what Mina says about the Nets when she is asked about, like, how are they going to guard? Because Mina is now fangirling for the Nets. How are they going to guard Joel Embiid? And her answer is by scoring 130 points. And that's basically what they're doing. They haven't had Kevin Durant all season, Stugatz, because he's been hurt. And so this is the wave of the future. This is the way to build the new team for 2021. Maybe everyone hates it, but just have a bunch of dudes who could carry the team for a third of the season each. Just have Kyrie Irving doing for a third of a season,
yes.
Harden do it for a third of a season, Durant for a third of a season, and then throw them all together in the playoffs and see if defense matters at all.
Sprinkle in some Blake Griffin, sprinkle in some LaMarcus Aldridge, but does anyone have any doubt the Nets are going to win this thing? Well, they're the one seed in the East, and all these guys have been hurt.
The doubt would be, I mean, that they don't play defense, but they might be so good that it doesn't matter in the modern age of math and basketball.
The big problem, Dan, is that
the regular season and the playoffs are different. And I'm not just talking about the intensity is different or whatever. We look at great offenses and even great defenses, and you realize that those numbers are built along the corpses of all the terrible teams you play during the year. All the terrible teams that also don't prepare much for you. They have one assistant coach who watched their last four or five games, and that's pretty much the preparation. When you get to the playoffs, you have an entire organization sitting around trying to figure out how to stop you and just you. And the things that you don't like to do, we're going to make you do it a lot. And the things that you love to do, we're going to take it away as much as possible. And we're going to do this again and again and make adjustments and what have you. So the big thing for them is the regular season's fine, but when they get to the playoffs, particularly when they get to either the second round or the conference finals, you're playing against good teams, disciplined teams, that are going to take away your comfort zone. The Milwaukee Bucks, at some point last year, had the greatest margin of victory average of any team in NBA history. But they got to the playoffs, and the Miami Heat said, okay, we're going to do this, checkmate. So that's the thing we got to watch for Brooklyn is, will they be able to adjust and make up for their deficiencies that teams will absolutely try to accentuate?
And what are those deficiencies? Like, when you look at the Nets, what beats them?
Well, I would say first and foremost, their interior defense. Their defense overall, but their interior defense in particular. They're not a great rebounding team, and they don't do a great job of protecting the paint. That, well, just score more thing is cool, but again, people have brought up this stat a million times. Of the last 30 NBA champions, maybe more, how many were outside of the top 10 in defense? One. And that was the 2001 Lakers, and it wasn't because they were a bad defensive team, just because they didn't feel like it. But you knew that they could do it because the year before, they were an elite defensive team. When you look at this Nets team, even if they wanted to, I don't think they have the personnel. And when I say personnel, we also have to factor in. If you got those three guys, you tell me which one is going to be cool with sitting so that you can play Nick Claxton more minutes. So you can play Bruce Brown more minutes. That it's a hard thing to sell to star players, particularly in the playoffs, that, hey, man, I'm going to need some guys that actually defend out here, and you guys aren't it. So that's something else that they're going to have to juggle as they go forward.
The sell is winning a championship. They've proven they could be the one seed in the East, I mean, with maybe having one of them healthy, two of them healthy. All three have not been healthy. That's the motivation. Win a championship. You can't play defense well. We have guys that can. We don't need all three of you out on the court. We need some defense out there, and it's going to help us win a championship. So, that would be my argument.
So, Stugatz, that actually plays into kind of my theory that they've been better off that somebody hasn't been available, because what happens if two of those guys are available, guess what the other three guys on the court get to be? The defensive types that we need to win
games.
Wait a minute.
Are you now arguing? I get it. I just haven't heard that theory espoused a whole lot. I mean, are you now arguing, when you say it's your theory, that the Nets are better off injured?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you have one or more of those superstars, obviously not three, but one or two of them unavailable, the lineups that you have to field are more balanced in terms of addressing all the things that need to be done on a basketball court. When you have all three of those guys who are great offensive players, who flourish with the ball in their hands, who aren't necessarily great defensive players, Durant in the past has been, but this year hasn't been that same thing, and I can only assume that is tied to his recovery from all his injuries. Kyrie's never been that kind of guy. Harden's never been that kind of guy. But if I have to play all three of them, even if they coexist perfectly offensively, who is subsidizing us defensively? What two players can we play that can make up for three guys that don't defend? They don't have good enough two defensive players to play in those other two spots to do that. They've got okay guys. Now, if you tell me I've got three defensive players who are subsidizing for two guys, that's a little bit more balanced. I'm not saying they're better when someone's hurt or they're better off without one of them, because obviously having all three has allowed them to, as Stugatz said, be the number one team, because he's hurt, no problem. He's here. He's hurt, no problem. He's here. Both of them are hurt, no problem. Harden's here. That works for them. But when they get to the playoffs, where teams are going to be picking on these things, That's the part where I'm interested to see how they adjust.
We are a couple months removed from that Harden acquisition, and we still don't have an answer to the question that we all had when they first brought Harden in. How are these pieces going to fit? How many games have they played together?
Seven games that they play together. And here's another thing, by the way. Sometimes when you're playing a great offense, and I know because I work for a team that had one of the best offense of all time in the Phoenix Suns, sometimes it's not that they could guard us. They just have to get that one or two stops down the stretch. And that's all it takes. Because the idea was we couldn't guard them, or we couldn't guard them as well. So it's nice to say, hey, man, we'll just score 140. It doesn't matter. Well, if they're scoring 141, then it does matter. Because at the end of the game, when they need a stop, they can get a couple here and there. They may not be able to do the same.
Did Amin just say he worked for one of the best front offices of all time? Is that something that was just, or did I hear that wrong?
I said the best offenses of all time, because we're talking about offense, Chris. Sorry for speaking too quickly, I guess.
Okay, well, I was the one who corrected you, but that is Chris Cody's contribution to the segment. Bringing
and the show
in
today.
The ghost
Thank
of,
you. Good job, everyone. Have a good weekend, everyone.
This is your, Masters this weekend, is your first contribution to the show.
Pfizer. I got Pfizer today.
Attaboy.
What's
so
going?
Now he can up the show from in the studio.
Yeah. He did. He told us all, boys, I'm in April 26th. And we're all like, is that a good thing? So that you can bring your dad spirit in here?
Finger guns for everyone when I get in there.
Oh, I can't wait. You going to bring my holiday gift?
Yep.
Are you guys basically saying that, and I think this is what you're saying, I mean, this is that you want to see that you're not sure whether the Nets are good enough offensively with all of their firepower that they are going to render moot what has always been an age-old adage in that sport, which is defense wins you championships in the playoffs. You cannot have a bad defense and be a champion in that sport.
You can. I will also say, I mean, they are 23-9 without Kevin Durant. I feel like you want to go down a road where you're saying the Nets can win it without Kevin Durant. They're better without Kevin Durant, and I think you might be right. So I'll say it
they're
for you.
They're better okay? injured is what I was accusing him of saying.
But their offense is so threatening, and we saw this with the Miami Heat's run in a couple months ago. They had to extend themselves so much on the defensive end that it took away from their offensive game. When you got Jimmy Butler literally leaving it all out on the court, it's a lot of work to defend those guys.
I would say the adage is defense wins championships. The adage should be, you got to be great at both. Champions are built on great offense and great defense, because people say defense wins championships as if I could be an elite defense and be 25th in offense and win the championship. That doesn't happen either, because guess what? They're both important. You need to be able to score, and you need to be able to stop the other team from scoring. And you need to be able to do both at the same time, preferably.
But this is what I would ask you, Amin, and you're the guy I will defer to ultimately on this, because I don't have the knowledge of this sport that you do. But I would basically say, at any point in basketball history, the Nets do not play defense well enough to win a championship, period, stop. But I wonder if not just the firepower and talent that they have, but things have been so skewed by this three-point shot that alters all the math in that sport, and that they're particularly good at with those three guys just making everything in terms of offense around them be something that is overwhelming. You're telling me that the Nets might be not only the first team we've seen to have a mediocre defense, the first team we've ever seen to win a championship with a defense as bad as theirs.
Yeah, well, I think the defense that as bad as theirs would be the, like I said, the Lakers of 2001, their second championship. They were, I want to say, 20th in defense that year, 21st. The Nets are 25th in defense this year. They're allowing 113.1 points per offense, per 100 possessions on offense. To put that in context, if every Nets opponent had been one team, that team would be the 12th ranked offense in the NBA right now. Ryan Cortez did correct me here. There's been three teams that have won without a top 10 defense. The Warriors in 2018, who were 11th. The Lakers in 2001, who were 22nd. And then the Rockets in 95, but obviously that was different because they made an acquisition in the middle of the season with getting Clyde Drexler. So just wanted to make that correction there before people lose their shit on Twitter.
Clyde the Glide.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is your start of the day.
It is a simple one today, Stugatz. Last night, 18 rebounds were grabbed by Kelly Olynyk.
Dude is lighting it up for Houston.
It's crazy, man.
He is. Someone needs to get their numbers, and it's Kelly Olynyk for the Houston Rockets.
18 rebounds for Kelly Olynyk last night. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Are you stunned that Kelly Olynyk had 18 rebounds last night? And just to conclude what will be a basketball-y segment, I mean, I did want you and Stugatz to go back and forth a little bit, because I'm tired at this point of having this argument with him. But Chris Paul is one of the best point guards to ever play.
Yeah,
Hall of Famer by any definition. And I don't want to do this again with him. But the Suns are now elite. The Suns have a very good regular season record. He has been very good. Last night there was a funny moment. Donovan Mitchell missed a free throw late. He, you know, did that hand shake thing that you do when you miss a free throw, but he was disgusted with himself because there were 9 seconds left and it was a 3-point game, and Chris Paul from the other team came over to also dap him up, and he sort of like waved him off, but Chris Paul was being an irritant, the irritant that he is. And the Suns are legitimately good. I mean, and so you have the discussion with Stugatz, who's just going to call Chris Paul a choker.
Look, everywhere the guy's gone, his teams have gotten better. I don't know what better metric you want, Stugatz, as far as how good this guy is. Everywhere he goes, they get better. And when he leaves, they usually get worse.
Right. I'm not questioning whether or not Chris Paul is good. What I'm questioning, and what I've always questioned, is people putting him in the top five, saying he is a top five point guard of all time. And I mean, I'm sorry, he is not.
Name your five.
Magic Johnson.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
I mean, I'll have to Oscar Robertson would be another one.
Okay.
Did I say his name right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, good. Now I'll have to have the filibuster so I can think of a couple of more.
Way to go, Amin. Way to go, Amin. That's the first time that has ever. No, but that's the first time that's ever happened, because usually Stugatz's top five has 15 in it, and now you just got him where he doesn't even have a fourth.
Right. It doesn't even really matter. My point is, whoever my top five is, and it changes, it varies hour to hour, day to day, week to week, okay? Whoever it is, all five of those guys have at least made it to an NBA final. How can you be the top five at your position and never be a guy who has led your team to an NBA finals? Forget about winning it. Just appearing in an NBA final, and Chris Paul's never done it. Sorry.
So, Stugatz, let me ask you, if I told you he was sixth, would you have the same argument? Or is it the top five? Because here's the thing. As I was thinking about it, Stugatz might be right. Magic, Jason Kidd.
Nope, he's not, because I'd put Steve Nash in there, and he never made it to an NBA Finals.
He's got two MVPs, though. Yeah. I'm with you, though, Mike. I wouldn't put him in my top five. Jason Kidd at least went.
Isaiah Thomas
at least went to the NBA Finals.
So you got Jason Kidd as a better point guard than Steve Nash.
I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Yep. Doesn't everyone? I mean,
it's not a ridiculous look. I wouldn't say that, but that's also because I bought a house based on Steve Nash being the best point guard I've ever seen.
He mentioned Stockton.
I don't think he mentioned
Stockton went to two NBA finals. Gary Payton went to two NBA finals. Like, the great point guards in the history of the NBA, the glove. I mean, listen, all of these guys, they have been to NBA finals. Chris Paul, who was teamed up with James Harden, was teamed up with Blake Griffin when Blake Griffin was still in his prime, when he was dunking eight times a game. He could not get to an NBA final, Amin. And you know he's not getting to the NBA finals with this Phoenix Suns team. You know he's not, Amin. Go ahead. Tell me the Suns are getting to the NBA Finals. Go ahead.
Look, here's the problem. I want to disagree with Stugatz, but I'm okay with naming point guards who are better than Chris Paul. I'm not going to say it's because they went to the finals, but I'm going to say, yeah, those guys were better. Magic was better. Jason Kidd was better. Oscar was better. Steph Curry's better.
Yep, there you go.
Is he a point guard? That's a different conversation.
But I don't care whether a guy's fifth or tenth.
Okay.
I do. I mean, top five and top ten are two totally different lists. I mean, the top five is the elite of the elites. I mean, you know, five through ten, you're on the outside looking in.
All right, I lose again. All right, what can I do? He's not fifth, he's sixth. He's the sixth best ever, and he's on the outside looking in.
And we left out Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot. I mean, but even someone like Chauncey's been to an NBA final. He's an NBA champion.
Don't do that.
All right, I won't do it. I've gone too far.
You did it already. You gotta let him go.
You
gotta let him go. He's on a roll.
He wants to make him 11. He's trying to get him out of the top 10.
I mean, Bob Cousy. Cousy went to the finals every year. What happened?
We have a takeout in 2021 of Bob Cousy.
Let me just say right now, Bob Cousy, me and Zach Harper, we host a radio show on SiriusXM NBA Radio, right?
Here we go.
No, this is in the plug.
Okay,
don't you host something else, Zach Harper?
We host this podcast called Cinephobe, and that's where we watch bad movies, or at least movies that were poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and try to ascertain, are they accurately poorly rated, or maybe they're not getting a fair shake? Cinephobe, wherever you get podcasts. This week, we reviewed the 1997 film Anaconda, starring John Voight, Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, Danny Trejo, and Owen Wilson.
Great cast.
Who did you do it with? I wanted to be on that one. Anaconda is the one I wanted to do. John Voight winking while covered in embryonic fluid.
Great scene.
Is he dead? I don't know if he's dead, but he's covered in some sort of petroleum, and he's winking right before he dies. Spoiler alert.
Let me tell you right now, there are days where I truly regret that Cinephobe is not a visual product, because all we wanted to do was just post still shots of the faces that John Voight made. He made so many ridiculous faces, it actually distracted from the fact that his accent in this movie.
His accent.
Oh my God.
Just waiting for you to get around to that.
Baby bird.
Don't baby bird.
That's really good. That's what he sounds like. My favorite scene.
What is that?
My favorite scene in the movie is when he's tied up to the mast because they've captured him. And then the girl who's upset that, you know, he killed Owen Wilson comes up with a knife, and he leaps from a seated position while his hands, his whole upper body is tied to the mast. He leaps upward in the air.
That's right.
And grabs her with his legs chokes her
That's
out.
That's right. That's right.
Go to sleep now, baby. Burn.
Billy, do you have any interest in this movie? Is there anything we can do? Roy's got a grin on his face. I don't know what it is. What is making you smile about Anaconda? Is it just all of it, Roy?
I listened to the episode yesterday. It sounded like he was doing a Tony Montana impersonation there. It was bad.
Billy, can I interest you in Anaconda? Again, give him the cast of Anaconda.
So you got John Voight, Jennifer Lopez, John Voight, Owen Wilson, John Voight.
Steve Martin was a pop comic.
No, Ice Cube.
It's like a Nutty Professor.
John Voight, Danny Trejo, John Voight, Eric Stoltz, who, by the way, was the original Marty McFly. You guys know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And John Voight.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Stoltz? What?
Yeah, they actually have footage of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly, and he gets the kanduru stuck in his throat in this film.
Yes, he does.
The penis fish?
It can. The needle fish that can get stuck in your penis actually gets stuck in his throat here.
Do you have that library? Do you have the Amazon guy we talked to who that happened to? Because we have that somewhere in our library. We wrestled it away from ESPN for moments just like this one, where we could go out to the Amazon and bring you a 12-year-old interview with a guy who got a fish stuck in his penis. That's what the kanduru fish does in the Amazon. It's horrible. Do you not know what this is, Amin? Do you know anything about this?
I know about it because I watched Anaconda. That's why I know about it. But I also love the idea that, like, oh, ESPN, you don't know what you let go. All of this gold.
That's right.
All this gold.
That's right. You don't understand, ESPN. How could you be so dumb? Look, I run off with this analysis that we did of an interview. What is the, can you find it, Mike? How hard is that going to be to find?
I think I called it the needlefish. It's a toothpick fish. So this is courtesy of Animal Planet 13 years ago.
Fine.
And here is a victim talking to Animal Planet about his experience with the lethal kanduru.
Silvio Barbosa lives on the banks of the Amazon River. That afternoon, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I felt like urinating. I stood up and it was then it attacked me. The kanduru attacked me. When I saw it, I was terrified. I grabbed it quickly so it wouldn't go deeper inside. I could only see the end of its tail flapping. I tried to grab it, but it slipped away from me and went in. I was very afraid because the kanduru bites. It won't stop eating non-stop.
Only one doctor was prepared to investigate his claims, a renowned urogenital surgeon, Dr. Anwar Samad. Using an endoscope, Dr. Samad could see that the kanduru, with its expandable spines, had firmly lodged itself into Silvio's penis.
Yes, it's horrific, all of it. I love the phrase, what was it? A renowned urogenital specialist of some sort?
You know when they said his name, he turned around and looked at the camera like, yes, that's me.
I am the renowned. Yes.
I am the renowned one. I feel like we've lost our way, though. My original question was not about the kanduru.
My anaconda don't. My anaconda don't. My anaconda don't want none unless you got bones on.
So I wrestled that away from ESPN. Like, they wanted that, and I'm like, no, you can't have that. That is something that is mine, and we're running off with this into a better tomorrow.
It was like the kanduru fish. It was swimming away from the grasp of ESPN deep inside your penis.
What was the other thing that you were promoting?
On SiriusXM NBA Radio, on the show that Zach Harper and I do called No Look Pass, which you can get 10 to 1 Eastern on SiriusXM Channel 86, Sirius 207, we have a bit called This Date in NBA History, and we'll go through kind of people's birthdays and what happened on this date. And a lot of these, you know, especially now, you get these playoff games when the Celtics won their 7th championship and everything. And we look at the box score because, shout out to Basketball Reference, they have the box scores for many of these games. And I got to tell you, Bob Cousy, this guy is shooting like 37% from the field and taking 30 shots in a game. Hey, you're supposed to be a point guard. How about you pass it a couple of times? Bob Cousy's the biggest fraud in the history of the NBA. And by the way, we came up with a new rule inspired by Bob Cousy. You know how in the NFL there were championships before the Super Bowl, right? There were the pro football championships, like the Cleveland Browns, right? Yeah. We know it. We say, hey, that's nice. You guys have those banners. But we don't talk about it anymore. We talk about who's won Super Bowls since the NFL-AFL merger. Zach Harper and I came up with this for the NBA. The only championships we count are the ones that happen after the NBA-ABA merger. All those other ones, that's nice, and you can have a little banner in your arena for it. But all we care about are the ones that happen after the merger, because that's when all the good players came, by the way. They kept them all out. They were all in the ABA. So, for instance, the Celtics with their 17 titles? No, you only have four. The three that Larry Bird won and the one that Paul Pierce won.
We've got to get all the rest...
Put them in the same warehouse from Raiders of the Lost Ark with the Ark and all that stuff with everyone's
Mike,
crates and stuff.
You have to get them right now. You have to get Bob Ryan.
Yes,
and you
right
have
now.
To get Amin yep. and Bob Ryan to talk about this, because I believe that Bob Ryan is going to bite your face off.
Yep.
And he's going to kick you in the groin, and I want to hear this conversation between you and Bob Ryan.
This is a Boston legend, a man who has won six NBA titles. People call him Kuz. I mean, he's from that area. He's a legend. Bob Ryan's going to kill you.
First of all, Scott, he's not from that area. Hey, he's from Mr. New York
Ryan,
City.
It's Mike Ryan with the Dan Le Batard Show. I have to call you from our work number because Amin Al-Hassan's in studio with us, and he's trying to take away 14 of the Celtics NBA titles?
17. 14 of 17.
14 of their 17 because they came before the NBA-ABA merger.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Oh, I can hear him. Is he yelling at you, Mike? Mike, is he screaming at you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he's angry. I can hear it from over here. He is screaming. God. All right, hold on, Bob.
I agree. It's Bob, level save it. Bob, I'm going to call you from the work phone right now.
It's a soundproof window. All right.
Oh, my God. Billy, how excited are you right now? Billy, this is usually your lane. Enrage Bob Ryan. But Amin Al-Hassan.
What do you mean? You would never.
Now it is Amin's lane right now.
You.
Are you ready for this, Amin?
No, I swear to God, I thought there's no chance he would be on the line because he works at ESPN and I thought there was an embargo.
No.
But then I literally heard his voice on the phone. Like, this is happening. This isn't a bit.
This is so great.
And we had him on recently. It's one thing bringing that heat to us, okay? Bring it to Bob Ryan.
Yes, all now. Right. It's okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, look
hold
how
on
nervous
a second.
He is.
All right, now, yeah. Amin, hold Jesus on, Christ. Bob.
And he should be.
All right, Bob's Bob, here. You just stay there. Hold on a second, Bob, because he's going to eat your face right now. Now, Amin Al-Hassan is, he was for almost a decade at ESPN, a front office insider.
We should tell that to Greg Godey.
He was,
Greg was doing a show with Amin and still called him ESPN NBA Inside.
That is so inside right there. You want to explain the rest
Greg
of that?
Greg wrote an article exploring Kawhi Leonard to Miami, and he credited Amin Al-Hassan, but he credited him as ESPN's Amin Al-Hassan, which very publicly you haven't been ESPN's Amin Al-Hassan since you boarded the pirate ship.
But I think Greg wanted to lend some more credibility to Amin Al-Hassan.
Well, no.
Don't keep Bob waiting.
No, okay, fair enough. But also, parenthetically, Cody wrote in the most narcissistic comment in a column you'll ever see in a show co-hosted by me. There was no reason for him to say that, but he meant, and he stole the whole article from Amin. It's the laziest piece of shit I've ever seen written.
I'm so proud of him.
And so, yes. So, anyways, Bob Ryan is with us right now. And Bob, this is not inauthentic. This is not meant to agitate you, but Amin Al-Hassan worked for the Suns front office. Amin Al-Hassan does know basketball. So Amin, before he, you know, ravenously eats your face, just explain, I'm sure you won't do it to his face the way you just did it. Explain to him what your theory is on this.
Well, Mr. Ryan, basically my point is that in the NFL, we recognize NFL championships that happen pre-Super Bowl, but we don't really celebrate them the same way we celebrate the post AFL-NFL merger, the actual Super Bowls. So Zach Harper and I have suggested we do the same in the NBA, where we recognize the exploits of the champions prior to the ABA-NBA merger, but we don't hold them in the same regard as we do modern NBA titles. In the same way that Jim Brown will always be one of the greatest football players of all time, and he won championships in Cleveland, but we don't really talk about it that much. Bill Russell is one of the greatest players of all time, and he won championships in Boston. But we shouldn't talk about them as much because they came at a time when there were only eight teams in the league. It came at a time where many of the best players were not there yet because they were playing in a separate league.
I refuse to indulge in any discussion that involves a QAnon theory of basketball.
Wow. Where's the theory?
You were delicate about it, Amin. That's not how you said it before. Tell him what you said about Kuzi.
I said Kuzi's a fraud. This guy shot 39%, 37.5% for his career from the field. So many of these signature games that he played in the finals, he'd have 30 shot attempts and only 10 makes. He's just gunning out there. Hey, point guard, how about you pass the ball a couple of times?
Who is the we in question? Who is this we that Mr. Hassan referred to, other than, what, his mailman? Who's we?
Who's the we?
No one's. I have never had a discussion or heard one that denigrated the pre-Super Bowl NFL champions or worried about the differentiation. Yes, there's the Super Bowl team, but no one has ever denigrated it, to my knowledge. So I don't know who this we is.
You're not a Browns fan, Bob.
When I think of championships, NFL championships, one of the first ones I think of is the Giants 47-7 victory in 1957.
Classic.
Okay? I won't get involved in a basketball discussion with a QAnon philosophy. I will just say that I honor all the NFL champions pre and post Super Bowl period. I don't know who the we is, but I don't care.
What about his criticism of Cousy?
Relevant discussion. That's the whole thing. The game has evolved. Okay, you have to do two things when you're talking about sports, and you have to talk about the person in their time. In their time, who was dominant? Who was winning? How was the game played? What was the game? Of course, the game has evolved. I know Cousy never shot 40%. I also know he is the godfather of every point guard who has ever drawn a breath subsequently. Whether your name is Chris Paul, is a direct descendant of Bob Cousy in terms of the concept of what a point guard is, how to get the job done, how to distribute the ball, how to identify who gets the ball, when and where. That is what Cousy was the greatest at his time at, and set the table for everyone who followed. Everyone who followed. That is his historic impact, and that is why he should be revered, period, okay? I'm not worried about whether he shot 38% or 52% or whatever. All I know is he was a great, great player in his time, and he was set a standard of excellence at a position and set the and basically wrote the rule book for the position. Okay, people have improved on the statistics of the shooting line. We all know that. Okay, so that's colossal ignorance and disrespect to denigrate Bob Cousy in that regard.
Colossal ignorance. I mean,
colossal, capital C.
Oh, capital.
Can you call it setting the table when he's taking the most shots on the team, though? That sounds like he's setting the table when he's eating, too.
Don't start taking the game. The game was, look, you're professing in public a profound ignorance of the reality of what the game was all about. Don't embarrass yourself any longer.
Stupidity.
And don't waste much more of my time. And don't waste much more of my time with this basketball cube nonsense.
Bob, we love you. Thank you for being on with us. I'm sorry we've upset you. Good talking to you. Always nice talking to you.
Bye.
He's a little pissed.
It's going to ruin his day.
He's a tad pissed.
Can we just put a landline sound at the end of that bye? It needs it.
I think I crushed it. Can I get an amen?
Cue amen.
I don't know about that. Did he call you Mr. Hassan?
Yeah, Mr. Hassan.
He did. You know what? Sam Mitchell also thinks my first name is Aminal.
Aminal.
Aminal Hassan.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile,
and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.